My name is Jenny Butzel, and I am the daughter of a mom who lives in an assisted living facility here in Dallas, Texas. I've been caring for my mom with her advanced Alzheimer's for probably close to 9 years. And she lives in a small group care home that's licensed as a Type B assisted living facility. As many people know who are caring for someone in long-term care, there's the facility responsibility and there's a family responsibility or friend responsibility. It's sort of a teamwork to assist that person in a long-term care facility that's based on many factors. So I have been taking care of my mom on this level for 9 years. Last year in 2020, I was forbidden from seeing her for a period of 207 days during the COVID pandemic and the restrictions imposed by the governor of the state of Texas. And that is where the absolute terror began for our family without having access to someone. So in order to tell my story, I need to describe my mom because my mom is 81 years old. And due to the advanced nature of her disease with Alzheimer's, she has been within various stages of this disease for so many years that she is now in a stage where she can no longer connect through talking, walking, feeding herself. She is totally reliant on others. Everything about her gives me a clue on what's going on with her that's completely nonverbal. So last year in May, when I was told I could no longer see her, my utter terror began because I could no longer see her eyes in person, see what was going on with her body, or just be in the same room with her to make those determinations. She has a host of medical problems, including seizure disorders, blood clots. So many things over the years that we've gone through have been because someone who knows her well is able to look at her and notice something different. And suddenly that was no longer an option. So from March 2020 until October 2020, everything that I did to help monitor her health and well-being was either through a glass door on the outside of her facility or through a camera or a device that I placed in her room that was sort of a one-way video. And that is how we survived the visitation lockdown.
Can you give me an example of one of those nonverbal cues and how they're able to help and support her? And
yes, during a typical window visit, I would see her body fully clothed, of course, at a window. There was no way to look for a bruise. There was no way to look for anything out of the ordinary. My mom's seizure disorder sometimes starts with a change in her eye. So one of her eyes will slightly close when she's getting into a pre-seizure sort of environment. And there would be no way, unless that were happening at the moment, I just happened to be in the glass opposite her at her facility. She might also tell me in ways, she might pat me, she might wince if something is causing her pain. During one episode in one of her facilities, she had a broken back that was undiagnosed. When I arrived at the facility, this is an example of a long time ago, but this is a critical key component. I never received any kind of phone call that my mom was unwell. When I got there, she was laying in bed in extreme pain, wincing, crying. When I asked how long she had been like that, the answer was several days. They had tried to prop her with pillows, but they were missing the fact that her face was just describing a pain that was intolerable. It would be multiple ER visits, again, because she cannot speak, where each ER visit would lead me to the path where I finally asked the doctor to concentrate on her back based on her reaction. And lo and behold, we found broken bones in her back. This was not something that staff at assisted living was going to address. It was a daughter who went hospital after hospital and had the good ear and eye and compassion of a doctor who finally listened when I said, please don't look at anything but her back. And we found that problem. So those are just a few examples of what happens when she is unwell that may not always be found by staff.
Are there any hobbies or activities or anything that your mother enjoys and was participating in prior to the pandemic?
This might make you chuckle, but I am her hobby. She is, she's a former musician, but due to her advanced Alzheimer's, her favorite thing to do is sit across from someone who knows her best and chat. I will chat with her about everything in her past, present. I will bring treats in for her. I would, she has a keyboard under her bed that we bring out, and I will play the keyboard for her to sort of generate that memory of her past music life. And we might comb hair, paint nails, put makeup on. Those are the kind of activities that one-on-one. So Steph is doing more custodial care. She cannot participate in bingo or a group activity. She might sit and listen to music, but she is at the stage where one-on-one, that eye contact, that I know you, you don't, she may not know me, but I know her well enough to connect to her. And that was gone.
And you said she was a musician, played an instrument or sang or what?
Both. She had a group. She's played the Hammond B3 organ. And it was my mom and her vocals. And I think she did have one extra band member at one time. And she was self-taught as a musician. She also composed music to fit her voice. And so she was very self-taught, sort of innovative on how she interpreted music. So I have books of all of her, for instance, Carole King, You've Got a Friend. She was unable to meet that goal of singing that. So she transposed all of the lyrics and everything to fit her voice. And that is how she.
Does staff do anything, music or any, any music related activities with her or assist with turning on any speakers or anything? Does she have any way to access music without you?
She does. She has a radio beside her bed, and we also have a device that will play on demand.
Oh, that's great. Was the on-demand music device something that was implemented after the restrictions, or has that always been?
During, and I used it more for telemedicine visits and just to check in on her so she could see me. There was nothing my mom had to do. I could just drop in and see her. Yeah. I don't think they ever used it in that way. When I'm with her now, we grew up in Pennsylvania, and polkas and Polish celebrations were part of our background. And so I will ask her, Mom, do you want to listen to some polka music today? And she will nod her head yes. And on it goes on the device. And so whether or not she can communicate in a way like we are doing right now, she can understand basic thoughts that I'm conveying to her and respond appropriately, but it's a head nod or a head, either way, it's a head nod. She will hold on to my hand when she thinks it's time for me to go and just grip that a little bit tighter when she anticipates it's time for me to leave. When I ask her to wave goodbye when I'm leaving her room, it is just the most tender moment, because as frail as she is, she still understands the wave, and it looks, if her hand is resting, it looks like this. That's her wave. She's making the motion. She's making that connection. So all of those things are her means of communicating.
Mm-hmm. Does staff at all assist with the music speaker for her?
They do. They put it on throughout the night.
Okay. Got it. Was bingo something she participated in prior to the pandemic or no?
True fact, my mom absolutely hates bingo.
Okay.
And always will. When she was able to, when there was a group in the main room at a previous facility, she would just up and walk out. She wanted nothing to do with that.
So it sounds like there's been a lot of challenging moments for her and for you, and I imagine for your family. Is there any moment in the last, during the pandemic, where you think of as like a high point as a moment where you experienced hope, or you saw, you think that your mom experienced some hope, some relief?
I don't know how to answer that. My number one takeaway from the pandemic and the lockdown is that she survived it without incidents at any sort of ER visit or emergency situation, which is rare. A 6 month is rare for her not to have that emergency. I don't know, other than to say, some people might have had a hard time visiting with a loved one at a glass window for various reasons, confusion, agitation, all of those things. For me, I had to make a choice. Do I want to be absent from my mom long enough that she no longer thinks I'm coming here? Or do I want to make it as normal as I can by appearing at that window and carrying on those conversations as if nothing is different? But she knew something was different. But I did everything in my power to make that okay. I began with little white lies, telling her that I had a cold and I could not come in. After a while, I don't believe she believed that for a minute. But the most powerful moment probably came one day when I think there was something I was trying to pass to her. And she lifted up her hand to the door handle as if to tell me, "Look, Jenny, this is how you get in my door. You just put your hand up here on this door to open it." I mean, I felt that she was trying to communicate. She couldn't understand why I'm out there. The door handle is right there. So that was one of those moments when you thought, I can tell her white lies, or I can just tell her, "Mom, I can't come in until it's safe." And so each time I did that, it was an affirmation for me why I couldn't go in. It was a way for me to hold back my tears for not being able to go in, and to tell her in a believable way, "It's okay. This is okay. This is how we're going to do this for a while." And then I would leave and cry in my car on my own, never in front of her. I did not want her to see something was wrong with the way we were visiting. But she knew the difference. She understood. In time, the hand would go up to the glass, and that was the heart-wrenching part. She knew when it was time for me to leave that that was how we would connect. And she didn't like the glass feel, but she knew that was our goodbye. So family members learn to adjust in ways to make it okay to visit in that way. So to ask me what was the point at which this visitation was a high point, there was never a high point. There was always an adjustment. There was always an adjustment mentally and physically, how I would connect with her. And I'm so glad that I did.
And when's the last time you've been there?
Yesterday.
And how was that?
It was wonderful. It was Mother's Day, so I was able to take the gift, and she was more interested in the bag than the gift, but that's okay. And we had a nice visit, and I got some pictures. I was able to put a little fancy top on her and some jewelry and just spend that time. I did a comparison from last year's visit on Mother's Day when I was not permitted in, and we took sort of that chalk and drew flowers on her window and connected in that way.
Yeah. Any music played yesterday?
Yes, we did play music, but I wanted to listen to James Taylor, so that's what we listened to yesterday.
So it's my understanding your mother got COVID, and can you tell me about this and how this happened and when it happened?
Yes. In December, I had visited my mom during a routine. We have essential caregiver visits. It was right before the holidays. And COVID was already in that facility, and I did not know that it was. I received a phone call just a short few days later. My mom is living, at the time, there were 5 residents. That's the max in this facility. All of the residents and staff members tested positive, but my mom remained negative for almost 10 days after everyone else had COVID. Even though they were separated, my mom did contract COVID. It was brought in by a staff member. In this particular case, the staff member kept coming to work with COVID, did not look at her email to know that she was positive. So by the time she did, we were all exposed. So during that time period from December till January 4th, my mom just was getting sicker and sicker until she tested positive for COVID. She was immediately sent to a hospital for COVID pneumonia, but she was also scheduled to receive the monoclonal antibodies. I do believe the monoclonal antibodies saved her life, but it would take 36 days for her to fully recover. I do believe that staff brought in COVID 4 days prior to her receiving the vaccine. So coupled with the fact that family members were no longer able to see their loved ones for 207 days due to visitation restrictions, we were then asked to accept that staff members were now bringing COVID into the facilities. And as a result of that infection in that facility, two people in that facility passed away right around the holidays. My mom was fortunate. She suffered greatly through that COVID, but we had a great deal of family effort between doctors, hospitals, and the antibodies that helped her survive. So when I end this statement, I want it to be clear that nothing that was done to keep COVID out of my mom's facility worked. Nothing. It was going to come in anyway. Staff members were being tested once a week. Family members were being tested once a week. The only thing we did to persons in long-term care during visitation restrictions was isolate them. That is the only thing we did. And that caused more harm and more devastation than can be ever recovered for a person living in long-term care, especially an elderly person.